Robinhood Radio presents Agriculture from Turkana Farms. Here's Peter Davies.
April 2018. Another April at the farm. Always anticipated. Always a welcome guest. Rarely an undiluted pleasure. Sly April, promising so much after an unrelenting winter, soon reveals itself as no happy ending. Disappointment follows promise. Promise soon proves fickle. Day by day, week by week, April surprises as days of sun return to rain. Cold gives way to warmth, warmth to cold, serenity to storms, storms to showers, showers to sleet, and sometimes the biggest betrayal of all, even snow. Then back again to balmy days of sunshine for a day or so. And then, no, never to be trusted nor taken at its word, April is a month to be greeted, if at all, cautiously. And here I end my poem. After years of giving April so many chances, my patience is at an end. And this is, I think, my final take on it. But there have been many other, far better takes on April over the centuries. One of my favorites from the last century, one that captures a darker aspect of April, is found in T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland. April is the cruelest month, breeding lilacs out of the dead land, mixing memory and desire, stirring dull roots with spring rain. For Eliot, as I understand him, April is about resurrection, the resurrection of the, quote, dead land, unquote, a process of nature that, while it is hopeful, is also cruel, requiring great effort and stress, and for some things, great discomfort and pain, whether it be plant or animal, to come back from the dead, from dormancy, from hibernation, is a slow, difficult, and yes, cruel, almost miraculous process, requiring the life-giving balm of spring rain. On the other hand, C.S. Lewis, in his transitional poem, seems to share something like Eliot's view of April, but as, quote, bullying April, unquote, not, quote, the cruelest month, unquote. When bullying April bruised mine eyes with sleet-bound appetites and crude experiments of green, I still was wise and kissed the blossoming rod. Well, as with Eliot, there is, in spite of or because of the pain of April, the miraculous rebirth, the, quote, blossoming rod, unquote. In Sarah Teasdale's poem, April, the hope for spring is not so much in the stirring to life of nature, which remains for her, quote, bare and brown, unquote, but in the hope that, quote, sings in her. The roofs are shining from the rain. The sparrows twitter as they fly, and with a windy April grace, the little clouds go by. Yet the backyards are bare and brown, with only one unchanging tree. I could not be so sure of spring, save that it sings in me. As you would expect, the poet-humorist Ogden Nash takes a lighter view of April, but still there are the references to April as, quote, cruel, tender, rowdy, unquote, and, quote, cold with sudden anger, unquote, in his poem, Always Marry an April Girl. Praise the spells and bless the charms. I found April in my arms. April, golden, April, cloudy, gracious, cruel, tender, rowdy, April, soft in flowering languor, April, cold with sudden anger, ever changing, ever true. I love April. I love you. Perhaps the mention of April in poetry that has the greatest resonance to me is one of the oldest such poems in the English language, Geoffrey Chaucer's famous Canterbury Tales. When I was 18 and a senior in high school many years ago, my English teacher, Mr. Kussler, decreed that we were to memorize the opening lines of the prologue to Canterbury Tales and to accost him wherever he might be and recite it to him. It was an assignment that has stuck, and I remember the poem's lines to this day, and it has colored my sense of April ever since. The English is, of course, the Middle English of 14th century England, so may require some translation, which will follow. Juan Aprila, with his shorter sutta, the drota of marsh hath perthed to the rota, and bathed every vein in swishly cour, of which vertu engendered is the flour. When Zaphyr is eke, with his sweety breath, the tender cropus and the younger sonna, hath in the ram his half a course irona, and smaller fowls makin melodia, that schleppen all the nicht with open ee, so pricketh him natur in heer coragus, than longen folk to go on pilgrimagus. Translation. When April with its sweet-smelling showers has pierced the drought of March to the root and bathed every vine in such liquid, when also the west wind with its sweet breath has in every wood and field breathed life into the tender new leaves, and the young sun has run its course in Aries, and when small fowls make melody, those that sleep all the night with open eyes, then nature inspires them so in their hearts, and thus do folk long to go on pilgrimages. And so, inspired by all these thoughts, on April, and by the month of April itself, Mark and I are beginning to long, like Chaucer's pilgrims, to go on our own annual pilgrimage, right here on the farm, through the next farm season.
Peter Davies and his partner Mark Scherzer are proprietors of Tricana Farm, specializing in heritage breeds of livestock on their 40-acre farm in Germantown, New York. Peter also presides over Tricana Odyssey, in which he customizes cultural tours of Turkey for small groups, which he calls an insider's view of Turkey. And his third hat is Tricana Gallery of Old and Antique Kilims, which he operates in the Wall Street area of Manhattan. Mark presides over his law firm, Mark Scherzer Law Office, which specializes in health law, also in the Wall Street area. Their farm website? TurkanaFarms.com. Their email, farm@TurkanaFarms.com, or 518-537-3815.